I want to talk to Dr. Sean Blamires now. He's an evolutionary ecological biologist from the University of New South Wales. Good afternoon to you, Doctor.
Oh, hi, Chris. Good afternoon.
It says here, what's stronger and tougher than steel and more elastic than rubber? Weight for weight. You're going to tell me the answer is?
The answer is spider silk.
I love this story. So,
yeah.
I mean, we've got Spider-Man, of course, and all that. We kind of know that silk is strong. But a new study has catalogued silk properties from, hundreds, thousands of spiders in the hopes of emulating it. So you've been involved in this. What can you tell us about it?
So it's pretty much the good thing that came out of this massive study. There's lots and lots of labs involved. So it's one of those sort of big multi-lab collaborations over many, many years. And the big thing to come out of it is this database that's freely available online. It's somewhat like, not as massive, of course, but somewhat like the human genome or something, where a researcher can now has the functionality to look up a species or a silk and get all the information it needs on it, including the genetic background code, how that translates into what kind of protein, the shape of that protein, and some performance parameters of those silks. So it's got all of this information across thousands of spider species. So it's going to be a magnificent research tool going forward.
How did you get all the spiders together? I mean, I take it they're not all together. This is all, as you say, all done separately, is it, in far corners of the world?
Yeah. So there's multiple labs involved. And the central research was performed by a team from Japan. And they contacted all the labs around the world, including mine in Australia, and then organized some individual trips. We went out and collected anything up to 100 or more spiders from any one location. They had this amazing production line of silk collection. They dissected some organs of some of the spiders that they examined, and then took all the material back to Japan and performed these multi-level analyses. So it was very organized. A worldwide effort, so it shows what science can do when all the teams, disparate teams around the world get together.
Yeah, very gratifying. I'm guessing that not all spider silk is the same. What differences are there in these silks?
Yeah, well, this is one of the reasons for doing it, is that sort of whenever somebody does a study from an individual species, they find properties just completely unlike what had been found before. So there seems to be a massive amount of variation, and it probably comes from genes, but there's also, and this is where trying to emulate it in the lab, what the spiders are doing becomes difficult, because it's not always the genes. We know that there's only a certain number of proteins involved, yet you get this diversity. So what seems to be happening is conditions within the spider's spinning glands and at the spinneret, and the spider's behavior all influence how the silk is produced. So trying to synthesize that and create a model of how this works, you know, A plus B plus C equals a great silk, trying to work that out when you get all this different conjointed information is difficult. So this project tries to bring that all together.
Yeah, and why would science want to work this out? How could we use silk out there, if you like?
So there actually is. I mean, there doesn't always have to be an applied outcome, but we think with spider silk there definitely is, because the kind of things you could build with a silk-like material, that's almost whatever you can think of, because it actually is one of the few materials out there that combines high strength with high extensibility. Usually you have to sacrifice either of those two kinds of properties in a material. Silk, and particularly spider silk or spider dragline silk, allows you to combine those properties. And within that, you can have stronger silk that are more stiff, more elastic silks. So it allows you to, the functionality, if we can understand all of the processes, to build tailored materials to specific needs.
Could you give us an example of one? I mean, what you're saying is basically you could do anything with this stuff once you can manufacture it. I mean, but what kind of new avenues might it open up in the world if we could sort of like manufacture spider silk?
Okay, well, at the high end, you can, one of the beauties of it also is it's natural. It can be produced without sort of a lot of harmful chemicals to the environment, and it's a lightweight material, so it's got a bit higher material density than a lot, or a lower material density, sorry, than a lot of other materials that perform this well. So you could build more lightweight, more flexible armor. So it's got this sort of really high resistant properties without all the weight and excessiveness that comes with it. Same as maybe protective equipment, maybe protective helmets for motorsport or cricketers or something that have, it's much lighter, much more breathable, that has the high impact resistance. And then yeah, like we were discussing, anything in between down from there, something that's really soft and pliable. So you can make it's also can be used we think internally in the body, so you can build prosthetics and all sorts of things that can be placed into organs and sutures and other things. So certainly biomedical applications are huge. So there's a lot of things. It's a great material.
Fantastic. Very interesting. Don't be scared of spiders is the core
No,
message here.
no, spiders are the best engineers on the planet. You should admire them. Yeah.
Brilliant. Love it. Thank you very much, Doctor. I much appreciate your time.
That's okay. Yeah. See you later. Bye. Thanks.
That is Dr. Sean Blamires from the University of New South Wales.